You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Everyone, by popular demand, Phoebe, Fiona Byrne is back because we had tremendous response to you comparing the show last week, Phoebe, and you're in again today because we're about to put a call in to Don, who has taken his horses and his truck and he's driven north. I don't know if he's going to drive off the edge of Australia up by Point Cook, or what is it called up there? Cooktown, or where, what's the top of Australia
he's just,
called?
He's heading north. Don is on holiday. He's on a horse holiday. He's taken his horses on holiday. So you're right. We
I
need
beg your pardon?
Yes, Max, he's taken his horses on holiday.
Oh, horse, sorry. I missed the R.
But he's going to we need to check in and see how
We're
he's going because Don
shortly.
Is a little he's prone to finding trouble with his with his steeds.
You might remember last week we chastised him for making a hasty trip just when Hawthorne wanted to induct him into the legend status. But he's called our bluff and he's packed the truck up and he's driven north. God knows where he is. We're going to ring him shortly. We've tremendous response to your very, very good work last week, Phoebe.
Oh, Sam, you're very kind. And I have to say, there's just some lovely listeners out there who have sent me some messages which were extremely kind. It was lovely. So but before we go any further, this is your podcast. People tune in to hear you. We need to just get a quick update on your ankle, please.
No, we don't. No, my ankle's
no,
right. They took the surgeon, Bill Edwards, William Edwards, a very good man. He took the bolts out of it, and since he's taken the bolts out of it, it's taken a turn for the better. So that's that, Phoebe. And Max is here to do a bit of sport because he's across that, across the AFL. So we're going to ring Don now because he'll be, I don't know, he's probably tampering around with the horses and he can't get on with them and tampering with him until we give him a call. So we're going to have a crack at this, Phoebe. Here we go. Just a minute now. This is it ringing. Now, Max, what do I do when he answers? Hang on.
You talk to him if you really want to.
Just a minute.
Hello.
Don.
Yeah, Johnny.
Can we all hear? Don, you old tosser, where are you?
I'm at a place called Bourke.
Well, a Bourke. Don't let's not do the obvious, not the back of Bourke. We've got Phoebe.
Well, it is. It's the back of Bourke. I'm staying at Kidman's Camp, which is in North Bourke.
Kidman's?
Just packed up, ready to go to Goondiwindi.
So we've got Phoebe here who was with you last week and compared the show, Don, and did a tremendous job. And we've got Max here to speak about a bit of AFL. But more importantly, Don, what in God's name? You called our bluff. We said that you had thumbed your nose at Hawthorne.
Called your bluff. Called your bluff.
You thumbed your nose at Hawthorne and you packed up just in spite to go up so that Hawthorne could you could send them into a conniption. What are you doing up there?
Well, I'm show jumping. I'm off to Gatton Show, and then I'm off to, where am I off to then? Nambour, and I'll probably finish at S and maybe come home after that.
So, Don, how are those horses going? Because you have
Fiona.
Oh, Don, how are you?
Good.
So how are those horses going? Because you do have sometimes a fractious relationship with your four-legged friends.
Well, I've got two of them. One's a thoroughbred, which is a racehorse. They use those for racing. And I've got a warm blood, which is especially bred for our sport show jumping. And you wouldn't believe it, the thoroughbred is excelling. I tried him out last night and yesterday. And he came through, whereas the warm blood's off its bloody head, Fiona. I could shoot it.
Oh, don't say that.
Cut its throat. It's better if I cut its throat, Fiona.
Are you at one with the horses, Don? The last time I had anything to do with you and horses was down at Werribee Park, and you spoke to them in a rough and gruff tone, and you you whipped them into a frenzy. And the only things that they had any empathy with was me, who walked over and they warmed to me beautifully, didn't they?
Yeah, but you shit yourself and ran a mile.
I didn't shit myself, Don. I stood there.
You're not good with animals. You haven't got that presence.
No, I'm not good with animals, Don. That's quite correct. But I stood there and they came over because they thought I was a calming influence with you telling them and shouting at them and get out of the way, get away back and stand here. And when I drove off, they came over to the fence. Tell me if I'm lying. They came over to the fence and they watched me drive out as if to say, please come back.
Max, have you got anything to say? Or are you just sitting here with your mouth on the floor?
No, I've got plenty to say, Don, just not to you. No, you're saying you're show jumping. How old are you again?
Don't worry about me, Max.
I'm just curious. Are you older than the person sitting to my right, which is, I think, my father?
No, much younger.
So Don...
Much younger?
Don,
younger than Fiona.
I didn't say Fiona. I said...
Don, have you got the tunic and the polished high boots and the whip and the...
Yes, I have.
You're sitting up on the horse like you've got a bottle up your ass and you bounce around there with the whip and you've got you're puncing around there.
Yes, punting.
So have you actually done any... Or you haven't started the event yet?
No. I'm just getting there, John. I'm just getting there.
And have you befriended anyone to come and cook your meals?
Well, I went for a tour around... Listen, really, you people have got to get off your backside. I've come up to this place called Burke. It's up on the Kidmans Highway that just sealed the road 20 years ago. It's an amazing place. Hey, now, listen, you're into show jumping.
Hang on a minute.
I've just travelled for 4 weeks. What do you mean, get off my ass? You haven't left the country in 3 years.
Don, have you befriended anyone, man, woman or beast, to come into the truck that you're driving to cook your meals or press your clothes or get your tunic out or brush the horses?
Didn't he just say he had someone on all fours?
What do you... Mac?
Oh, sorry, that was the horse. My apologies.
Don. Have you got in? Have you been with anyone company wise?
No, I'm by myself, Johnny.
Well, you don't. But, you,
good.
So I'm staying with the Simmons family at Burke. They're a very nice family.
And oh, so you're not also, by yourself.
Now, listen, you wouldn't believe this, but this podcast is listened to up here.
Well.
And a fellow came in yesterday. I've got to. Can we give a shout out? Now. The Owls, they live up in Burke. They
Who?
Listen to this. The Owls.
The Old?
Frank Old.
OLD?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Well, and Peter, now, I was just walking through back in my van last night, and a man, Peter Scott's his name, he comes from Muriac down in Geelong, listens to the podcast all the way up to Darwin. He went up there for the... What is that? Is it not NASCAR? What do you call that car?
The birds. What? Did they go up for the Birdsville?
No, Fiona. The car. You know that, Johnny.
What?
What's the car racing at Darwin?
The supercar.
Supercars. The V8.
Supercars. Yeah, supercars.
Anyway, so he went. He follows them up. He listened to our podcast all the way to Darwin. Then from Darwin, we followed them across to Townsville. And I got up this morning, he's gone, so he's probably between Burke and Cobar now, but he comes from Geelong. Peter Scott, he says...
Scott.
He listens religiously as he's a fencer, a rural fencer.
Is Scott a relation of yours, Don? Scott?
Peter Scott's his name.
Is he a relation of yours, you fool?
No, he's not a relation, but Peter Scott's his name.
Yeah, I know, you've said now, that. Listen, go on.
Now, hang on. I'll give you a bit of history. You ready? You were into high jumping at school. Who won the 1962 Commonwealth gold medal in Perth for high jump?
Chilla Porter.
No, he came from Australia.
Well, Chilla Porter came from Australia.
And so did this man. Now, this man stood 5 foot 11. He's no more than 5 foot 11. His name is Percy Hobson, and he comes from Burke.
Right.
The first Indigenous athlete to win a gold medal at a Commonwealth.
Did he do the straddle or the scissors?
He did, well done. He did the straddle.
Because the Fosby flop wasn't invented then.
He jumped off his right foot, John. What foot did you jump off?
Oh, my right foot, Don, yeah.
Did you really? I jumped off the left.
Oh, good on you. Well, then we're like a couple of bookends.
Fantastic.
Well, he jumped off
the left.
This is gripping. Fuck, what are you on about, man?
Don, well, Don, how high did he jump, Don?
Hang on, his portrait, why I say this, his portrait's painted on the silo up here.
An indigenous man's portrait's painted on a silo.
Yes, his name is Percy Hobson.
And what? How high did he jump?
You just can't miss it as you're coming in.
How high did he jump?
6'11".
Really?
And stood about 5'11" himself. I saw at the
lower center of gravity.
But a big museum. It was about a foot over his head.
Well, you sure he jumped 6'11"? Because do you know in 1956? Do you know who won the high jump at the Melbourne Olympics? No, he didn't.
Oh, Charles Dumas.
That's Charles Dumas. And do you know how high he jumped?
No.
6'11¼".
Really?
And now, do you know what the world record for high jump is? A bloke from Cuba called...
100 meters.
Yeah, something like that. Do you know how high he jumped?
8'4".
8'4". 8'3". Which is...
Well, do you know the world high jump record for horses? He's 8'5½", and it was jumped his hands back in 1930.
Who
was? Horse jumped 8'5". I think it was called Golden Mead.
Mead?
Mead. I think that was the name of the horse.
And it would have had a very light person on it. Did it have a woman or a man on it?
On board.
What?
A man on board. 8'5".
It would have been a dwarf on board.
No. They used to. That's what they did.
Well, how high have you jumped on a horse, Don?
6 foot.
When I went out to Werribee to watch you, you were jumping over a bar on the ground, which was no more than 1.5 feet high.
I've come down a peg or two.
That video of you commentating on Don's show jumping out at Werribee is some of the funniest footage I've ever seen. I think you're lost to the sport, Sam.
I could have gone over to the next Olympics and done the broadcasting, Don, because it's not me that was good at it. It's the subject matter you've got to describe. And you, honestly, you would have thought you were King Farouk. You were trotting, strutting around there and waving to people and patting the horse, and you brought the horse over. And I spoke to you and the horse. The horse made more sense than you. You said, oh, yes, it's jumped very well. And you couldn't get the smile off your face. So anyhow, any more to report? I know you've told us about the indigenous man painted on the silos and he jumped 6'11". Anything else?
Well, the crime rate is unbelievably high up here. On the front page. Now, also, Fred Hollows is buried up here. Did you know that? Do you know who Fred Hollows is?
Of course, he's the Eye Man.
He was, too. Some condition.
Glaucoma.
Glaucoma, that's it.
What is it called, Don?
Yes, that's...
what's the eye condition called?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, your horses have got glaucoma, I reckon. Go on. Give us some more information the man from Moriac driving won't be bored shitless by this. Give us some interesting tidbits before we ring off.
I'm looking at the Western Herald, and on the front of the Western Herald is that the residents urge to lock up the houses. Last time I came up here, I told you about the 10 cars parked out the front of the police station. Now, everybody must be having their house robbed.
Yeah, what, the crime rate's up, is it?
Crime is unbelievable, apparently, up here.
Why don't you lock your house anyway?
All right, Don. Now, what have you been eating? What have you been sustaining yourself on, sustenance? What have you been cooking yourself, or you've been opening the tins, or what?
I had roast pork cooked last night. That was very nice. I don't know, the night before.
I got a feeling we're not likely to see you back. I got a feeling you might come back in the air wing to the hospital, the Red Cross, what is it called, the flying doctor.
Doctor. No.
Don, can you please tell us, why did you really decide to go on the road? Because Sam and I both feel that you're just running away from Hawthorne. Yeah. And we are actually, Max believes this too.
Well done, Don.
Absolutely of the belief that you have decided to hit the road on your horse holiday to basically just to get out of town so you don't have to attend the Hawthorne event.
You are so right, Fiona.
That's devil, weird. Really?
Yeah.
Well done for following through, but it's weak.
Now, Don, that's pathetic, man. That's seriously, that is pathetic. In fact, Jeff Kennett rang me yesterday. You won't
honestly,
believe this.
Man.
He asked me, invited me, I shouldn't say, oh, I can say this. He invited me and Jason Dunstall and I, to go to his man cave in Richmond for an evening with him and a few others. And I, and the he's, whiskey. What?
The chief.
Yeah, whiskey. No, oh, he's a malt, a special malt man, Jeff. And he said, Sam, would you like to come over to and have something to eat with Jason Dunstall and me? And I said, I would, Jeff. And I said, is Don invited? He said, no, Don's not invited because he's given us the arse. He's going up. So, Don, I want you to tell me if this is true or not. You listening?
Yes.
Barney McCusker sent this, and I rang Barney to find out if this is real or not. He sent me a letter that he's had in his possession, and I'm going to read it out to you. And I want you to tell me if this is true or not.
Just quickly, what's the date on it?
It says August the 15th, 1996. Good question, Max.
Just in case it might jog Don's memory.
Don?
A few things you can remember.
It says, this is, you purportedly have written this. And don't say you haven't, because I'll read it out, all right? Don?
Go.
It's to a Mr. M. Landy in Mount Gambier. Have you ever heard of Mr. M. Landy?
Yeah, Mark Landy.
Well done. And this is what, I'm reading the letter, and Phoebe's and Max are verifying this. I'm not making this up.
For context, can you please do the voice?
No, this is not Jeff's letter.
No, do Don's voice.
No, oh, all right, no, all right. This is what you say, Don. My dear old friend Mark, tell me if
what?
You... What?
Well, that's not me for a start.
He already knows.
It's not.
That's not me.
He's not mates with anyone.
It says, it's your own... I'm reading this out. This is Barney sent me this letter and said Don might be...
I think Barney's taking a bit of literary license here.
It's typed by you, apparently.
I'm
going to read it out quickly. It's your old mate Don come to ask a special favour of you. Now, I realise that in all the years that you were at Hawthorne, I never spoke to you other than the time when you were playing against Essendon and I injured my arm and I told you to excuse yourself in a roundabout term. I didn't mean it at the time and I don't want to bring it up because I'm sure you have forgotten about it. Now, Mark, I have always admired you and, in fact, if I come back in the next life, I want to be just like you. In fact... If you are over in Melbourne, I would really like to take you out to lunch. Now, I understand that you and your partner Strickland are doing, I don't know who Strickland is, are doing fairly well because when I was down at the MCG last weekend, I see that you have your own private box named after you. So how about it, Mark? How about helping out your old club Hawthorne with a bit of dosh? Your dear old friend, Don. Did you write that?
I said,
what?
Is Barney on that marijuana from Asterix?
Oh, marijuana oil. I don't know. I've rang Barney to say, Barney, is this fair?
I think he's got the stuff with the, what is it, that illusionary factor in it?
Yes, the THC.
THC, I think he's into that.
And while we're on it, I'm just saying if you're...
I went to Asterix the other day. Have you been down there?
Shut up, Don. don't overdo the Asterix stuff. It's nothing to do with Asterix.
Oh, we're doing the
doctor,
plug now?
It's Dr. James Stewart is the man. This is only a community announcement because we get inundated with... Only get inundated. That saves me having to reply to all the people who ask. If you want to just know about the whatever the marijuana stuff,
give them the location and the hours and everything.
No, marijuana oil. It's Dr. James Stewart. That's it.
Why not cut James out and go straight to Astrid?
Because they're the dispensing agent. You got to get a prescription. Now, I'm not giving it anymore because it sounds like we're giving him an ad and we're not. Now, Don, so I'm going to ask Barney if that letter's real, but it sounds like you. All right, that's
Don,
it.
Sam, I actually don't think it does sound like Don at all. I'm confused about some of the words used in that letter because, Don, I've heard you talk a lot and I don't think that's you.
No, it sounds way too sensible.
Now, Fiona.
Yes, Don.
That's it, Don.
I want you, your job for the rest of the day is to make Don relevant. He's got a problem, he's got to stay relevant.
Oh, Don, don't say that about Sam.
He's very relevant. He's wearing Puma pumps and a nice salmon shirt and shorts. He's looking very relevant.
Don, your job is not to fall off your horse.
Maybe Max could do an impression of his father.
No. Now, Don, please, man, we need to just move on just quickly. Now, thank you.
Seriously. I've bred an idiot. Don. That's it. Any other?
Got that on tape. He's admitted it. Can't say anything else anymore now. He's admitted it.
Actually, we just have to stop here because you two are terribly alike. It's quite funny sitting across the desk from the pair of you because you are very similar.
When do we think will you
be
back
after
for next?
Went under the knife.
Will you be back for next Wednesday, Don?
No.
Oh, so you're just gone indefinitely, have you?
Yeah, I've just told you no.
As I said, if you've gone, if you got a return date by any chance.
Oh, no, Johnny, not yet.
You might stay there.
I might.
God, we could only hope. All right, well, good on you, Don. Well, all the best. Is that it?
Thanks, Fiona, and thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Don.
And who's the guest today?
Don't worry about it. You won't have to do any research. You never do any for any of the guests.
What about
so don't.
Ben? Is Dr. Ben on?
No, Doc. The doc's over in Hawaii. I sent him a text. He's given us the arse to. I sent him a text. I said, "Have you had a layover there yet?" And he's apparently when he got off the plane, they put one round his neck. And he's. I said, "Take the little nippers up and watch the lava flow coming out of one of the volcanoes." And he hasn't got back to us yet.
Okay.
Well done.
Mm. Okay, Don, that's it.
Thank you, boys.
No, that's it.
Don's gone.
He's gone. Now, are we all off? Is the phone off? I'm going to turn it off Bluetooth, Max. Get it off Bluetooth. Right, now, Phoebe.
Sam.
So.
What's been happening, Sam?
Well, seeing as Don started the doc, Fordham, excuse me, pardon me. He said, don't do shout-outs because they're boring and if you're going to do them, do them. But Don started the shout-out. So we had Bill Swan and Dane. And Bill is Dane's father and he was in here being interviewed by Phil Cleary for his podcast. And Bill listens to the podcast, so he's sending a shout-out to Bill, Billy Swan, and he's a good man. I asked Phil to ask Dane, who has how's his tattoos going, because he's got a tattoo of me on his ass.
Oh, I beg your pardon?
On his bottom, because he lost a bet when he was on the footy show, and he, true to his word, and I can show you. I'll show you the picture, if you disbelieve me, Phoebe. So there it is. And I'm showing
good
it to
grief.
You now. It is quite a life-size picture of him.
Yes, I have to say it's on now. I'm just checking this. It would be on Dane's
left
buttock. And Sam, actually, I thought that would be a tiny little stamp size.
No, that's on the front.
Replica of your face, but no, that is a large. That's he's literally sitting.
So
on
it was a bit embarrassing
now.
In front of his father. I said, "Don, would you, Dane, would you mind removing your pants so I can take a photo of it?" And that was, and Bill thought, "Shit, what's going on here?" And so, but he removed his pants and we cut a snap of it so I could put it on the social media. But I don't think. We should do that, but I'm just showing you just to show that I wasn't making up. So we're shouting out to Bill Swan.
And I think, Max, tell me, did you recognise that tattoo?
No, not really.
No, it
doesn't look anything like what you are now.
No, that's right. Of course, because that was
it's a stitch up for Dane. If he'd gotten a modern day photo, it would be skinny and quite nice.
That was taken when I was that the tattooist had a photo of me when I was 21 playing for Geelong, and that's the photo. And he made a very good likeness of it. And also, so that's that.
Au naturel.
And also, 21. Rosetta listens to the podcast, and she's from a restaurant just where I live called Sassoon. And so we're shouting out to. We're shouting out to Rosetta. So have you got any shout-outs, Phoebe?
Well, actually, I have a tattoo story that I'd just like to add to that one that you just told. So while Dane Swan has the image of your face at the age of 21 on his backside, Daniel Goring, who used to play for, for the Swans and for Carlton, not the Swans, Gold Coast Suns,
yes.
He has a really large tattoo of Stuart Dew on his backside now because he lost a bet and had to end up having – and the bet was, you know, if someone beats someone, you know, I will get the coach's face tattooed on my backside. And he lost the bet and went through with the he's a man of his word, and he has – a much larger tattoo than that of Stuart Dew, the Gold Coast Suns coach.
He's been a very prominent person since leaving football. He's done very well for himself considering he was terrible at football for a top 10 pick. Well, congratulations, Daniel Grange. You're doing well. Keep going.
Well, nice to see he's plagiarised the idea from me.
And actually, doesn't...
No, from Dane, probably.
Do you have any tattoos?
No. No. Are you serious?
I'm serious. I'm asking you. No,
certainly not.
No, he's factory made.
He's factory made.
It's got nothing. It's pure.
And I think I have a feeling it's actually Steve Price that has a tattoo now of Dane Swan on his arm after losing a bet. So what is going on? There's people's faces popping up everywhere.
Wouldn't be a very big tattoo if it's on Stevie because he's a diminutive man.
He's a pocket rocket.
He almost qualifies under the literal terms to be a dwarf. I think a dwarf literally is someone who's under 5 feet. Oh. Tall, 4'11", and Stevie, I think, is 5'1", 2".
Phoebe, if you don't know this, you obviously haven't listened to any podcast because this is a topic that comes up each and every freaking month.
He's a bit taller.
I will ring him.
All right, now, so there we are. So we have a few things to speak about. I want to ask you this, Phoebe, unless you would like to offer some. I've been on this for a long time, and there's a woman... a vagrant who sleeps on the boulevard, our most prestigious boulevard called Beaconsfield Parade. She has set up a small home there with waterproof sheets, and she hangs a washing and uses the latrines, and she is living there. And this is by no means having a go at her, because if she's destitute, we should, or the council should, find some alternative accommodation rather than... Why is she allowed to stay there? Because I know the Dr. Ben, he says, oh, don't go on about that. But if five or six of her friends or anyone else came down and set up camp there, we'd have a homeless ghetto down there. Why is she allowed to do that?
Now, look, I think I'm on Dr. Ben's side on this one. Why does this bug you so much, Sam? Because is she hurting you? What's going on? This poor woman obviously is lacking sustainable accommodation.
Are you not cognizant of what I
just
said?
I am cognizant of what you're saying, I appreciate your point that you're concerned that if one person is doing something, it perhaps could be an example for others to follow. But I'm not really sure that people choose to be homeless and want to go and live on Beaconsfield Parade.
You've just answered. You said you can understand why I keep going on about it because why is she allowed? What happens if 6 or 7 or 10 people go down and start doing it?
Now, you have been talking about this for quite some months now.
Well, why is the council vapid that they can't go down and find her some other... She lies there all day, smokes... gets smoked cigarettes. They're $50 a pack of cigarettes. She has food delivered. She has bedding and clothing. And it's become a tourist attraction.
How long are you watching her for?
every time you drive down Beaconsfield Parade, it's like a tourist attraction.
You're saying I've answered my own question. I think you've answered yours, because the fact that you've been driving past and seeing this unfortunate lady living on the boulevard there for quite some months and no other people have come to join her, it's not actually causing the problem that you feel that it may cause.
Potentially, what happens when the summer rolls in and people say, wow, I think I'll just lie down on the boulevard so I can go and have an early morning swim, soak up the sun, lie there, pay no rent, use the facilities there to shower and wash. It is extraordinary that the council allow it to go on. And I keep saying it, I'm not having a go at the woman per se. Seriously, I'm not.
By continually raising the issue, what you can be assured that the council is keeping an eye on what's happening, and I would suspect someone's gone down there and probably tried to offer some assistance and perhaps made some options available to her. But
hang on.
She's clearly not living there.
Well, we should have a zero
all the time.
Of course, she is. We should have a zero tolerance. A zero tolerance program here. If the council have gone down and offered her some alternate accommodation, and if you lived across the street of Boulevard on those very, very what do you want to look out and have homeless people lying on the boulevard
for? I'm going to ask you a very simple question here, which will answer this question. Now, you're not employed by Channel 9 anymore. They can't send you to America to stop this. When you were going to campaign to be the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, you had a plan in place to try and get homeless people into a suitable accommodation. What was that plan? What should they be doing to accommodate this woman and any other homeless person?
My suggestion was to get Les Twentyman, Brendan Nottle, and Bob Maguire. Get those people who are into charity, try and get commandeer some empty warehouses in the city and convert them into genuine refuges for the homeless, not people who just want to freeload, but you have to qualify and show that you are genuinely homeless, and set up a proper place for people to go while they're finding better times in their life, or and have people donate food and bedding in a proper warehouse converted to get people off the streets in the central business district, have a zero tolerance program so that you cannot sleep in outside the doorway of 7-Eleven or McDonald's, but we will take you and accommodate you there, and we'll keep an eye on you, and we will just we'll see how long it takes for you to try and get yourself off the homeless list or whatever, but just clear the city out of people, vagrants, and this is another classic case here.
Well, that makes sense, and it makes a hell of a lot more sense than having safe injection rooms in Richmond, and I'm not sure where the other one is. That would make a hell of a lot more sense. And obviously, when you put people in that warehouse that you've done up for that, companies and to get homeless people jobs and stuff, get them back on track, they will follow suit with everything like that. That would just be a flow-on effect. That makes a hell of a lot more sense than safe injection rooms in Richmond, which every one of my friends and friends of friends feel so unsafe living there.
Yes, well, that's moving on to the next step. But So we said this last week. If you're going to criticise things, let's have have an alternative. It's easy to criticise, and I'm still saying it. I have no idea why they allow that to go on down there.
The good thing is you're keeping an eye on it. So if anything changes,
well, I mean, you can't help but keep it. Every time you drive down there, it there it is.
And you said she's ordering food.
People deliver food. That people think they're being virtuous and pandering to look how worried we are about the homeless, and they think they.
But hang on, it's a different thing. If someone's giving her food or she's ordering food, it's two completely different things.
It's not two completely different things. She doesn't have to order food because people deliver it. They deliver bedding, they deliver cigarettes, they deliver everything, and she's thumbing her nose at the community.
Can I?
Because she's allowed to.
I'm going to change the topic a little bit. So moving from Beaconsfield Parade into the city and the streets of the CBD, Sam, bike lanes is just an issue that continues to cause concern. And I noticed in the paper again today that there's more people flagging their dissatisfaction with the bike lanes that have now become, well, they're well and truly established now, these separate bike lanes in the major roads within the CBD. Any thoughts, boys?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's just that the woke agenda trying to accommodate people who, for some selfish reason, want to take half the roads that they don't pay for. It's okay to have bike lanes, but we should not throw the baby out with the bathwater. They don't pay to use the road. Cars are a big part of the city, and petrol-driven cars are, don't get me started on electric vehicles, which are the greatest hoax of all time. Petrol-driven cars, the economy relies on petrol-driven cars and for people to drive around because we're a big, expansive district and community. I just drove down here and I was with Max here and I said, look at that. They've blocked off half the road for a bike lane and they paint them green now. Mm. And so they've gone down from two lanes to one lane. And for how many bikes? Like, it is a joke. And it's just this woke nonsense that goes on and no one pushes back in case they're considered to be, well, not just moving with the times.
No, and I'm going to agree with you on that. But what I don't understand and what was interesting, what Don said last week about the government potentially privatising Vic Roads, how the hell are bikes not held accountable with some form of registration? They want to use the roads, obviously don't pay the full amount that a car would use because they can't go on the freeway. They should be held, they should have a number to each bike that you own that if you want to use the road so you can be identified. But cyclists get in accidents and hit cars all the time or kick cars and they just ride off because the car obviously can't keep up, but they decide to go down a very small side street or anything. They should be held accountable if they want to be on the road. That just makes so much sense.
It's definitely an issue that's got a lot of heat in it and it's not going to be resolved anytime soon because...
No,
the issue, it's, I think, with speaking about the CBD, I think clearly the bike lanes were put in there to try and create a safer place for cyclists and to separate them from the actual flow through of the carriageways for the motor vehicles. I get why they were put in, but I just feel like the effort to put them in has actually caused more congestion or will cause more congestion than solving the issue
and
of congestion.
You give... Not necessarily them, but you give people who have an agenda a little bit and then they want a little bit more and in the end they'll want you to block the street off and just have a bike, just a one-way streets that bikes can only... and the people to blame are the... People to blame are the councils. Why do they bend over to this? They just say, no, we've got enough bike lanes.
No, it's crap.
We have some guests who have just arrived in the studio. Before we break and introduce our guest, Sam, another quick question for you. Your dear, dear friend Shane Warne. Shane is no longer with us, unfortunately, but his influence is actually living on because I noticed that Philip Daladakis, a former Labor MP, he actually has credited Shane with saving his life because it was after Shane's passing that he went to have a health checkup, and of course his cardiologist found that one of his arteries was 95% blocked. So the lasting impact
legacy of the great Shane Warne a salient reminder that if you are thinking you might have a health check for whatever reason because someone you know has become ill or departed this life because of an illness and it spurs you to go on and do it, fantastic. And what was his name, Phoebe?
You're going to ask me that just so I can trip over
spell it and I'll have a crack at it.
No, it's Philip Daladakis.
Daladakis.
Thank you, Max. I need to have a coffee. Can we break and get me a coffee?
No, we're not breaking. We could break. I'll tell you what we will.
We're just going to let them continue on in the background, are we?
No, we've got a very special guest has come in. This is not the guest that we're going to interview. This is a man. I can say that. I'm sure he's a man. I don't think he's. He is a man. I know that. And so we're going to maybe just fill in a little 5 more minutes with one other topic, and then we'll get. And I'll tell you, this is driving me mad. I want to know on free-to-air television, which I don't watch, and cable television, how many ads can you possibly cram into an hour's television? So you have 3 minutes of ads, and then you have 3 minutes of program, then 3 minutes of ads. It's almost become 50-50, and there must be some regulatory body that won't allow you to have too many ads. And I'm just telling you this, I would never buy anything off an ad that I see on television on principle. If they keep bombarding you with the same ads, I would make a point of not buying that product.
Oh, no, you're not going to be happy. Aren't you a huge Netflix fan?
Yes, Sam, Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix is getting ads.
Ads.
I know. That's my point.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about every program I watch on cable television, on Fox.
Hang on, Netflix isn't cable.
Well, if I could just jump in to answer your question about ads. Usually, okay, so if I give you the case of, say, a one-hour TV program, that's about 43 minutes in total that goes to air or is delivered to a network. So that means you've got, 17 minutes of ads factored into that,
and then
60 minutes.
So they would say they would be paid ads, and then they have promos for the station, which they don't pay for because they're their promos. Series about 50-50, and if Netflix, I'm just saying to people, if you want to have a protest, make sure you don't buy any product that interrupts your viewing, or the best thing to do is to pre-record the program, and when you get to the ads, just fast forward through them.
Ads make the world go round, Sam. That's it. You've got to pay for these products and these shows in some way, shape or form. And ads are just, they've always been here and they will be here to stay.
Yes, well, as a matter of fact, when cable television came out and Netflix, you actually do pay to watch them because you pay a subscription. You don't pay to watch ads, but they've crept in to the extent now where they monopolise anything that you watch and they drive you mad. And I make a point of not buying anything or using any product that drives me mad. And if everyone did that, they might work out how to advertise some better way. A 5-minute block of ads and then just leave us alone to watch the program.
Sam.
What?
You're making me laugh.
Well, that's a good start.
Coincidentally, do you know what the most expensive ads in the world are?
Super Bowl.
Get up to millions and millions for 30 seconds of
airtime.
That's right.
Well, that's fair enough because it doesn't
interrupt. By God, are they entertaining?
Because it doesn't interrupt the program.
Well, they become part of the show.
Yeah.
You know, the interest, I know you're rolling your eyes at me, but
no, I'm not rolling.
Each year there is such...
No, it's just a condition from the Botox, don't worry.
But there is so much interest around, which brands have actually paid the money to get those advertising slots, and they create almost mini movies for those particular ad spots.
It's not relevant to what we're saying. If you have a 20-minute break because the teams go into the change rooms to refresh I don't care how many ads. They can show 20 minutes of ads or whatever because it's not interrupting the program. When the footballers come back out or the players, then they play the game. So you haven't missed anything but to watch a pro... Anyhow, we'll go on a bit. So don't buy anything that's advertised, please.
Something a bit of fun just to wrap up this segment on. The Rolling Stones, Sam, did you realise that yesterday marked 60 years since the Rolling Stones performed their first show, their first gig at London's Marquee Club?
So 60 years ago, that'd be 1962. Were they before the Beatles?
About the same time.
Yeah. We got the mayor. No, we can't mention who's in here.
Yeah, the Mayor of Brighton.
Wasn't the Mayor of Brighton that said that. That was another man we're going to speak to in a minute. The Mayor of Brighton, Johnny Locco, is in. And John has provided, we spoke to Miss World and Sydney. John provides more guests, while Don doesn't provide any, he provides more guests that we speak to, and Dave Hedgecock we spoke to.
That was a really great interview. Mm. I really enjoyed hearing from Dave.
The only question we didn't ask, because I didn't know, apparently he's been shot 8 times. He's been shot.
How does that happen?
Well, bloke pulls a gun out and shoots him.
And fair, good answer. Fair, stupid question. Good answer.
We're going to we've preempted who's you might have heard him laughing, but very successful man in his own right, but gone a bit spare in later days. And I say that to his face, not behind his back. But he's going to come and speak to us because he makes sense when he wants to. And Max, we're going to. And what do I have to do here?
Well, hang on. What was the final question?
I was asking about the Rolling Stones. Thoughts.
Far out.
I think that's a heck of an effort because they are still touring at the moment.
Yes.
Obviously, they don't have Charlie Watts with them anymore. But
oh no, what happened?
Well, Charlie passed away.
All right.
But an extra.
Moron. So they were before the Beatles, were they? I went and saw the Beatles.
That yes. fucking look.
I went and saw the Beatles in 64. And someone said that they were only on stage. Did we do this last week?
Yes, that was Di, our friend Di. I think she said they were on stage for 15 minutes. I think it was more like just under half an hour. It was a very short set.
Di was very popularly received too last week. She had very good comments about Di. She had some very interesting snippets. Not sure that we got right down to who she'd actually been out with and how on what basis she'd been out with them, but maybe we could get her back one day when she gets her eye in properly.
Oh, Sam, a lady never kisses and tells, you know that.
Not the ones I've been with. They're very happy to tell. But I digress. Yeah. All right,
fucking
now.
Moron.
Shut up, Max, please. Don't swear, please. Max, I'll do the swearing. You behave yourself. Right, so now we're going to ring off. What are we doing, Phoebe? That's it. We'll be back with a very special guest.